If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We got a status story today. Ken Barkley's going to join us 2 hours from right now. Everybody's favorite, Ken Barkley, back. He's got a betting guide coming out.
I want to know if there's a chapter in there about trap traps.
Trap traps?
Is there a trap trap chapter, and are we included in the trap trap chapter?
You know, I highly doubt it, but what I would say is, even though most people reading a Ken Barkley betting guide would be like, who the hell are Dirt and Sprague? Like,
these idiots.
They don't know who we are in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
It would be really funny to have a title or chapter section of your betting guide,
right.
The Trap Trap.
The Trap Trap.
Or the myth of the Trap Trap.
Be leery of the Trap Trap.
And then he craps all over the idea of the Trap Trap while explaining the origin story of the Trap Trap.
You got to avoid them, man. They're all over the place.
Look, we don't come up with genius very often. I think for him that was genius.
Is the trap a trap? Is there a trap that we don't see the trap coming?
We'll have to ask him at 9 a.m.
My favorite part about having him on is that he's got a lot of followers and people who love his content, rightfully so. He's great at what he does.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't do a lot of interviews. Like, he's incognito.
Since he left the hosting gig.
I mean, maybe he's done one or two others around the country, but we're one of the regular stops for him now, and so we get all these Ken Barkley fans that, like, flock to the show for 20 minutes. Like, who are these idiots in Portland?
Well, we're
idiots. Why the hell is he on this show? It doesn't make any sense.
Because we have a lot of fun.
That's right. We love you, Ken.
So Ken Barkley will join us at 9 a.m. We'll get to some college football. Is there a battle going on that we need to pay attention to, or is the battle make us know we don't need to pay attention?
Ooh.
I think that's something interesting to talk about as well. And an observation from the AP poll that caught my attention. I'm sure it caught Dirt and everybody else's that loves college football is, boys, have you realized how close we are to week zero?
A week from Saturday. Week from Saturday, it begins. It is a week and a half, literally a week and a half away from actual football that counts being on your TV.
I will be wrapping up Hood to Coast and being in Seaside trying to catch college football action.
Is that still going on as planned?
What do you mean?
The Grasshopper Fire, is that not affecting it?
You're going to have to catch me up on the fire.
I tried to tune out of
Oregon-related stuff.
Once I got back from Sun River, I kind of stopped paying attention to it, too, to be honest with you.
Central Oregon, fine. Santiam Pass, very clear. We avoided. The Grasshopper Fire is up on the north. It's to the north side near, like, the Dalles.
Right.
And
will that affect the Hood to Coast?
If it's not.
No.
If it's not near Timberline, then no.
Then no, right? Because that starts and you run down the mountain.
They did
smoke
close.
Might.
Yeah. The smoke might, but they did close Timberline and Mount Hood Meadows last week.
Yeah. That's devastating. Also, that was the underrated great thing of being in San Diego. Zero fire smoke.
Yeah, it hasn't been bad. There was a day or two where you
gross,
like,
looking flying in.
You pop out and then you don't really realize it. And you're like, oh, it's back.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I wonder how much you don't realize it until you go somewhere where there's none at all.
You're breathing it in every day and you don't quite comprehend because you're just used to it. It's like when your house stinks, you don't know your house stinks.
Exactly.
Because you're in the stink every day.
And then you invite
a friend over and they're like, dude, get an air freshener in here, man.
Strong dislike, by the way, I forgot to add very quick. God, I don't know if I missed anything. Me and my family missed anything from Oregon more than drinking water.
Yeah.
L.A., San Diego, California, drinking water is...
Not trusting it, not trusting the tap.
It's gross.
My wife doesn't trust the tap here.
I kind of don't blame people for not trusting TAP anymore.
Yeah.
Our infrastructure's terrible in this country. We don't update anything. Every time you read something, it's something depressing. Oh, new chemical found in local tap water. You're like, okay, cool. That's awesome.
Makes it a pain in the ass because we don't have one of those fridges with the water thing.
So we got the filter on the fridge.
You got to fill up the Brita every time. And then it runs low. And then she's mad that it's running low. And it's a whole thing.
So many bottles of water on vacation. And all all I'm doing is drinking water right now.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Chugging Oregon water, baby.
All right. What's the sigh for? What's going on there? You all right?
I'm good.
Keeping the mic on. Yeah. Audibly sighing.
Was that a yawn? Was
no,
that a sigh?
That was a sigh.
A sigh, okay.
Why? You hungry?
I am hungry.
You want to know what the special is
today? I want to know what the specials are. All I got is a damn protein bar in here. I'm hungry.
An open-faced breakfast sandwich.
Mmm.
So one slice of toast. Your pick of the toast.
Yes.
Butter.
Okay.
And then we've got a layer of crispy hash brown. And then you stack it how you want it. Do you want over easy eggs? You got it. Scrambled eggs with cheese? You got it. Your protein of choice. Sausage, bacon.
Both.
Chorizo.
Yeah.
You know, could make it a meat lover's.
Love a good meat lover.
It's an open-faced sandwich.
I mean, choosing your own adventure is always a good call.
Then do I have, what do I have? Do I get hollandaise? Do I have sausage gravy? What do I have?
It's a choose your own adventure.
They're all right there. Grab the tub and fill it up.
Yeah, you want hollandaise? Pour that bitch on. I don't care. A lot to get to in the cafe. Let's open it up and start with, unfortunately, this one.
And the sacrificial man. Yelich to center. Julio is there, and he makes the catch. And Julio threw the ball into the seats. Julio threw the ball into the seats. That was the second out. And so the runners are going to advance two bases, which will score another run.
That was Rich Walls?
Rich Waltz. He was filling in.
Oh. Rich Waltz of Mariners Television.
Rick Riz is about to hang him up. He's coming to an end here.
Look, I don't watch Mariners games, mainly because they're blacked out. I'm not paying for the subscription
package.
There.
Yeah.
I had to do like a triple take to see that the score was true. 22-0 against the Milwaukee Brewers.
It was only like 1-0 through four innings.
It exploded from there.
And then they got five. I think they got five in the fifth. I looked up and it was 6-0, and I was like, all right, I'm done with this. And then I looked back, it was like 22-0.
I did have a funny text from a cousin-in-law last night. That's how I was notified of this score, that said if they had the Dodger bullpen, it would have been 23-0. So it's a good thing they don't have the Dodger bullpen.
It's a good thing. That put Diaz back on the injured list.
That play right there, Julio caught a fly ball in the eighth with one out.
19-0 was the score at the time.
19-0. He throws the ball in the crowd. He thought the inning was over. It was not. Two more runs scored. Brewers 22-0. It's tied for the biggest blowout win in a shutout since 1888.
For context on that, courtesy of the great John Sakanik, going back to 1888, the gunfight at the OK Corral, a.k.a. Tombstone, was 7 years before that in 1881.
I'm your Huckleberry.
That's what we're talking about here. Like that.
Jeez.
Look, you never want to overreact too much, but based on the season that they've had, that's one of those, like, I'm just fire everybody.
Do you want a fun stat?
I don't need coaches. I don't need managers.
Do the Mariners
I'm firing everybody.
I do. I have a fun stat of the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, they're only like three games out of a playoff spot.
Well, I feel for Mariner fan, but also sometimes Mariner fan can make themselves a little loud for a team that's never been to a World Series.
Never done anything that mattered.
Well, you know, they lost in ALCS last year. here's a fun stat for you, Mariner fan. You may be quitting on the season, but the math of ESPN says maybe you shouldn't. According to ESPN's playoff predictor, the Mariners right now have the third highest playoff chance percentage of making the final wild card.
The September schedule must be incredibly easy.
They
other than that,
suck. Stop saying the schedule's easy. They're the easy team on the schedule.
I mean, at least the Brewers are good.
Yeah, they can't wait to play the Mets.
We'll see what that is after next week, because they finish up with the Brewers, then they go home and they get the Cubs and Phillies at home.
I don't get
in their
that
next
at all.
Game.
I would not gamble on that
at all. I was shocked.
All.
I had to do it. Triple take on the score.
They do have many games left with the A's. I think they have the Rockies, the Angels.
They are eight games below 500. They
and they're
are
only
not
three out of the wild card spot.
Yeah, well, I just, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, so it's
the third
best
leader
odds
is 500.
So the playoff
Astros
predictor
are 500.
To make the playoffs. That is, you said.
Well, it dipped before. Okay, yeah. So to be fair, I looked this up before the 22-0 final.
I would hope that put a dent.
So
in
let
it.
Me change that now. I think it's the fourth. They're tied for fourth. But yesterday, before that went final, they were tied for. They had the third best. to make the wild card. So the two AL East teams were above them.
Right. I'd put Boston ahead of them, too, because Adley's raking right now since he got over there.
Exactly.
Tampa's in first place. Chicago's in first place. So I'm not putting them ahead of them.
Dude, they were above the Rangers before yesterday went final. Now they're below the Rangers.
Sure.
So they've fallen a little bit, but yeah.
I mean, that's just 22 to nothing. Holy hell. Pack it up and go home.
High drive. Way down the line. Oh, is it going to be fair? It is. It's gone. And we are tied up. Adley with his first blast as a member of the Red Sox.
Yeah, how about that one? Dave O'Brien, Nesson, Red Sox TV. Adley Rutschman with his first home run as a Red Sox.
I mean, he is, look, it hasn't been the greatest year for him, obviously. Getting it going a little bit. He got off to a rough start, just statistically speaking, coming over. But in the last couple of games, it feels like he's starting to rake a little bit. Hits his first bomb. We played a highlight of them too yesterday as well, where they had everybody in the lineup got a hit and didn't, or got an RBI and didn't strike out, and they won in blowout fashion. Mm-hmm. Arizona's a whole other side story of what's going on down there with Ketel Marte. But man, I'm rooting for him to go on a heater in the playoffs. It's weird to root for the Red Sox because I've never had that feeling. But local guys will do it, and I have no other rooting interest in the American League. So let's go Red Sox this year.
John Shambi, Marquee Network, Cubs, walk it off in the ninth. Pete Crow Armstrong, maybe the NL MVP.
Probably.
He is the NL MVP.
He should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know Otani's getting a lot of love, but.
Unless Otani comes back in September and pitches the final month and is lights out, it should be PCA.
His illegal contract should keep him from winning another MVP, but I digress.
Talking about Otani?
Yeah.
We're calling him PCA.
Is he going to get locked up by the feds, too, in this whole deal?
Why are we calling him PCA?
That's what he goes by. I know.
Cubs call him that.
That's a Cub thing.
When did we become...
It's actually ironic that you bring that up.
When did we become such a boring-ass country?
We follow
a
guy...
Every name now is just initials. Wait. You see Ant's new shoe? What about SGA? What about Wimby? What about PCA?
Well, not all of them are initials.
Whatever, dude. Like, come up with a GD nickname for this guy.
Come up with something from Little Big League, right? Isn't his mom the mom from Little Big League?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that the correct baseball
his
movie?
His mom is that mom?
His mom was the actress in that movie.
Is
so
there a
be.
Baseball player with, like, the law firm as a nickname?
No,
Pete Crow Armstrong sounds like a law firm.
He does a little bit sound like, yeah, it's funny. We follow a guy in Chicago who used to work in sports radio. He's a big White Sox fan, and he was tweeting about this yesterday. And he thinks there was a directive from the White Sox to not call him by his nickname. Because everybody in Chicago does call him PCA. Like, that's what he's known as. If you say PCA in the streets, people know what you're talking about. But the White Sox broadcast refused to call him that yesterday.
What are we doing here?
Thank you. Can we get real nicknames, please? Bring those back to sports.
Pete Crow Armstrong. Very good baseball player.
Don't worry. People get on it. They'll let AI come up with it.
I'm really jealous of their Go Cubs Go song.
Oh, it's so
It's
good.
Such a good I mean,
I'm
flying the
Wrigley.
W, Go I mean, Cubs Go. Not jealous.
I have a buddy. He's a neighbor of my brother-in-law. He's a Cubs fan. He flies the W.
Does he?
Yeah. I think he actively flies it after wins.
Yeah.
Like, he raises it after
you?
A dub?
He doesn't. It's like a yard flag.
The people in the outfield bleachers there have bring the
go
W flags
Cubs,
with
go.
Them.
Oh. Hey, Chicago.
By the way, been
say?
Off for a week. I'm a little rusty.
Order up.
I keep forgetting that.
Yeah,
you
gotta
go
order
look
up.
At the film because I was playing, referee the whole time. And the one thing I have learned is I don't get in the fights. I stay back. But, like, again, our football team needs this work. And overall, I was disappointed in the work today because I didn't think we got enough good work. I thought there were too many bodies on the ground, and it just felt sloppy to me.
Yeah, man, we were competing. We were competing the whole time. We were getting after it. I think that you felt the juice. I was going out there talking crap to the guys, talking a bunch. We were out there competing every single down, and that's what we want, But we also have to manage the ebbs and flows of the game, too, and that, it felt that way, and I think we were able to really get some good work in.
Brian Schottenheimer of the Cowboys and Tyler Shuck of the Saints making an appearance on Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. 3 to 4 fights yesterday in an inter-squad camp.
A lot of brouhahas, helmets going flying. Ooh. Love a good training camp fight.
Saints and Cowboys don't like each other much.
They do not. Do they play in the regular season? That's always the one thing when I see the fights, I wonder, will there be any lingering effect?
Oh, if they play again, there always will be.
Right, like something when an offensive lineman or defensive lineman is almost guaranteed to get into it at some point, or
yes.
A wide receiver DB. Let's see if they play each other this year. By the way, we did not talk about yesterday the Tyson injury. I totally missed that in the notes. He's going to be out for a couple of
Jordan
months.
Jordan Tyson, yeah.
Yeah, with a hamstring injury, so that's going to impact them a little bit. They do not play each other.
They don't play each other?
That's a bummer. That would have been a fun regular season game.
Yeah. I still think Shuck's the best, second-best quarterback in that division.
You're not going to get a strong argument against
him. I mean, after the Tua tape, you can't make an argument, I think, in Atlanta. If Tua's beating out Penix, what's that say about Penix?
Well, Penix isn't healthy yet.
Yeah, okay.
He can do everything but take a hit. Okay. It will be okay.
Look, I want my guy Penix to succeed. But
Tua can do everything but take a hit, too.
Well, you know. Yeah.
Cooper Rush going to be all right?
He
or?
Can't catch a snap. So, you know, that's a bit of an issue with old Tua.
Order up!
I mean, people make a lot of assumptions, and that would be a one that they're wrong on.
Is there a timeline for him come back? When do you think he might be able to practice again?
I think if it wasn't Christian and we were in a game week, I think he would play today.
Is it related to the calf or Achilles?
No, just some tightness. We get sensitive if I say where.
Kyle Shanahan.
Nah,
I gotta be careful what I say here. I saw this and I laughed. So there's some reports that this is about a contract.
You just had two running backs get and reset the market and Gibbs and Robinson.
He says there's not. I don't know if that is entirely accurate. Also, it's Christian mother bleeping McCaffrey. Why does he need to practice every day?
Yeah, he's fine. It'll be all right.
I would load manage the living hell out of him in camp if I knew I was also going to give him 400 touches in a season.
I'd wrap him in bubble wrap and ship him to Australia right now.
Yes.
Go hang down there, mate. We'll see you in a little bit. We'll come down and play the Rams, and you can fly back with us. There's no need. I am going to chuckle because I do love when teams and franchises do this, like the fake news bit. I don't know where that information's coming from. I'm going to laugh my ass off if in a week he gets a restructured contract that makes him the highest paid running back and he's all of a sudden back at practice.
Order up!
So I think the Bengals have more stars.
No way you think the Bengals have a better roster than Buffalo.
Let's go through it, okay? Do they have somebody as good as Dexter Lawrence under the side of the ball?
Buffalo?
Yeah.
Ed Oliver's probably not as good, but he's in the conversation.
Okay. Do they have anybody as good as even T. Higgins? Is T. Higgins better than D.J. Moore?
Correct.
Okay. So I want to talk about stars. I'm about top heavy. And we may view this differently. My belief is top end talent wins in football, and then it's what you can get away with outside of it, right? What can you get away with? Because you have to rob. You just said it. You have to rob Peter to pay Paul on a bunch of stuff. Okay. Hey, we're not going to have the great offensive line. We're going to have the great skill guys. We're going to have the great quarterback. How about the quarterback? You're going to get away with some stuff. I think the Bengals have premium talent at a higher clip than the Buffalo Bills do.
There's Kevin Clark on ESPN yesterday. I think this was a first take debate. I saw it in my Airbnb before we left town.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was glued to it. I thought it was an interesting conversation of whose roster is better on paper between Buffalo and Cincinnati. Yeah.
It's two guys who I don't necessarily view as like hot take guys. And if they're debating football, I'm interested, right?
Guy.
Like I see what his argument is. I certainly do. If you go by the defensive line, if you go by the wide receivers, the quarterback is interchangeable, right? Like, Burrow's got to show he can stay healthy. I would take Allen over him, but it's not like there's a wide gap
between
the two.
If he's healthy, who's the better quarterback?
Right? 2 years ago, the last time he was fully healthy, you could argue Burrow was the best quarterback in the NFL. Ironically, I think that was the year Josh Allen won the MVP, but it was a debate about who could have, who should have won it.
Who would you pick? If I told you,
I would
healthy.
Take Josh Allen. I would just take,
You would.
I just would. I think the ability for him to run the ball and to be a impact guy in the red zone is a difference maker for me. Also, I like his ability to extend plays a little bit more than Joe Burrow. I can't agree with it because the most important things, or one of the most important things in football is the offensive line.
Yeah.
And Buffalo has a significantly better offensive line than Cincinnati. That was on display. We talked about this last week when you were out. The Bengals actually played a lot of their starters, a good chunk of their preseason game. You know what happened on their opening drive? Joe Burrow took a sack in a preseason game against a backup defense, and their starting offensive line was playing. And it was like, okay, red flag. Now, look, it's one preseason game. They might figure it out. But what's been their issue the last couple of years?
Yeah.
They can't keep them upright. And so you can argue they're better at wide receiver. You can argue they're better on the D-line. You could argue maybe a player in the secondary is better. That's fine. But if their offensive line blows, they're going to blow again this year.
Yeah.
Order up!
I thought CJ did really well today, some really nice plays all day, really great decisions. Again, the same thing he's been doing all camp. So proud of just his competitive spirit as well. When he was out there, like, you start barking back and forth. Yeah, he's doing that, but he's still holding his composure and making plays as well. So I'm proud of the work that CJ did today.
There's D'Amico Ryans, proud of CJ Stroud, who's getting through camp yesterday.
Big year.
And their inner squad scrimmage against the Las Vegas Raiders. Huge year for him, obviously, because there's a lot of financial details sitting right there to see if he's going to get the extension from the franchise.
He has not gotten it yet. I'm glad that Houston has not given it to him yet because he doesn't deserve it yet. The biggest, and I got to be fair on this, right? Like, I'm not a huge C.J. Stroud guy. I think we've been blinded a little bit by having a really good defense and winning some playoff games, which certainly matters, but it's not the end-all, be-all to me when I'm evaluating, do I pay this guy $50 million a year? To be fair, they've been decimated with injuries at wide receiver. Their offensive line has been a sieve because of injuries as well. And so if you get a year where they're healthy on the outside and the offensive line takes a step in the right direction, mm-hmm. we'll get a fairer picture of what he is as a franchise quarterback. But certainly, when you're power ranking quarterbacks with pressure this year, I don't know where he falls for everybody, but he's certainly in the top three-ish of that category.
Yeah, we'll have more NFL coming up a little bit later on. One thing we didn't get to here that I wanted to, and we'll talk about it, is Merritt Paulson had a press conference to welcome his new manager. And the gaffer said hello to Portland, but Merritt Paulson also gave thoughts on Portland as a city and the Trailblazers. So we'll get to that audio because that came out yesterday afternoon. We'll talk some Oregon and Oregon State coming up. College football rolls on hour number two. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dodgers might be owned by the new Bernie Madoff. We could talk about that today.
That story is bananas.
It's absolutely
every
insane.
Day there's a new, like, wait, what? He tried to buy him out of their TV contract early.
Yeah, he needed that cash. What are you in that do-re-mi for there,
he
bud?
Needs to clear up, like, $10 billion in 6 weeks.
Nothing is more clear that I don't care, even though my team is the best, than Swag's nonchalant nature of this entire story.
I mean, I would be a little alarmed. The last time you went bankrupt, it was a little rough for you there, Bob.
Yeah, the good thing is... Yeah.
And you got about how much money tied up into future deferred payments?
Yeah, but the problem is Ohtani...
Oh, yeah, okay, got it.
Ohtani is an entire economy to himself. Like, somebody uber-rich is going to buy this
situation. Can I add a fun note on that? I don't think it's going to happen. Do you know he has a clause in his contract if Mark Walter's not...
He said he wouldn't do it. I already read that, yeah.
Okay.
That he could opt out.
He could opt out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would he opt out? You're in Los Angeles. He clearly wants to stay in L.A. He chose to stay in L.A.
I'm just saying. Just saying. Point it out.
So you think it's going to happen?
I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but we also, every day that the news update comes out on this story, it gets crazier than the day before. So where are we going to be at in 3 months when this guy's going to prison, potentially? Which I don't think will happen, but I also didn't think we'd be here. I didn't think he'd sell the Lakers a year after buying them.
That was a wild story to read. I had to do
yes,
a double take.
Dude.
I'm like, what? He just bought this.
Yes.
I didn't even know you could sell it that quickly.
He needs to liquefy $10 billion in the next, like, 6 weeks,
I heard it was
dude.
$24 billion.
I mean, I think in total, that's what he needs. Yeah.
So this is clearly a Madoff situation,
dude.
Right?
Yes, go read the.
That's how I'm taking it.
In particular, with the Dodgers, because they own the TV channel that gives them $300 million, who are also owned by insurance companies, and they're just funneling money to each other. It's all fraudulent. Strip them of their titles.
They're probably still going to get bought by a super rich person.
They're still going to win another World Series, and he's going to complain about the bullpen the entire way, and it's going to be miserable.
And not watch them
clinch. How many times you tried to do that on the air while you were gone?
I can't even.
Edwin Diaz gave up a run. We're only 30 games over 500.
Yeah, it's just, dude, it's hard to really take seriously when you opt to not watch Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
I would not have missed Game 7 of the World Series, and I have a dog in the fight.
It was on Halloween, wasn't it? Or one of the World Series games was. I remember trick-or-treating, walking around.
I don't know
like,
if Game 7 was, but I wasn't going to miss Game 7 of the World Series.
It's a pretty big deal.
Speaking of a big deal, going on down in Corvallis, Oregon, USA, quarterback battles.
Ooh.
You had Ryan Harlan on.
Yes, we did while you were out.
Who does a great job covering Oregon State football. And he talked about the three-man race for Jamarcus Shepherd and the Oregon State Beavers.
I was actually initially surprised when Murphy elected to stay. That even caught me off guard because I think after last year, you know, you wouldn't have blamed him for leaving or finding a new spot. But they bring in two new quarterbacks in Brady Jones from Western Michigan and Braden Atkinson, Jerry Rice Award winner from Mercer this past season. My thoughts on the quarterback room are, I think it's Malik Murphy's job to lose, being the incumbent in the room, and they're making it a true quarterback competition. We're going to get a little more clarity from Shepherd on how each of the quarterbacks looked, but I think this quarterback battle goes until the 11th hour, right about until game week, week one against Houston.
Yeah, I'd be kind of curious about this. You know, something I talked about while you were out was the refreshing honesty from Shepherd, and it may not be something everybody likes to hear, but I kind of took it this way, and maybe he didn't mean it this way, and he would probably fight against the way I'm saying this. I took it as a coach basically telling you point blank, hey, man, we're going to struggle bad this year.
It's going to be tough, yeah.
It's going to get ugly. There's going to be weeks where we get absolutely steamrolled. And so the quarterback situation, it's maybe not the biggest area. We'll have to kind of wait and see on that. But the fact that this is a three-man battle, I had mentioned that somebody told me they don't really want Murphy to win it.
Yeah.
But they might not have a choice.
They're hoping one of the other guys grabs the reins.
Yeah, but if they're not ready to do that, it's probably going to be Malik Murphy.
Yeah.
I think we're going to potentially have more than two quarterbacks playing the position this year for Oregon State.
Would not be surprised in the least if that happens. My read on the Shepherd stuff, because it was funny, you played a clip while I was out, and then he had another clip that was very similar of like, guys, I need you to stick with us. My other read on that, too, is that, especially with the AP poll coming out, the first two opponents on their schedule are ranked. They're going to be...
Oh, they're going to get bludgeoned by
like
Texas Tech.
Houston's like a 20-point favorite, and Texas Tech's coming to town. It should at least be a home opener, good atmosphere in that game, and Texas Tech's kind of a villain of the sport, so... I know. I hope that there is at least. It's the biggest draw of your entire home schedule in terms of an opponent coming to town. But they're probably going to smoke you. And I think that was a warning sign of like, dude, the first 2 weeks might go bad. But then after that, other than Boise State, who the hell knows, man? I don't know what to make of Texas State or Utah State or Colorado State. Like, there's no reason in my mind I think you can't be competitive in those games. But there certainly will be trials and tribulations this year. The Brady Jones one, like, I can't have a take on Brady Jones. He didn't play. He transferred from Western Michigan. I'm not at practice every day, so I don't have eyeballs on the kid. I don't know how good or bad he is. The Atkinson kid is at least intriguing to me in the idea that you have one of these players that's from a smaller level. As Ryan pointed out, he won the Jerry Rice Award as the best player at that level of college football. He threw, I want to say, 34, 35 touchdowns last year for Mercer, had good numbers throwing the ball, and now he's elevating his game to another level, and can he hang at the Group of Six level? And we'll find out eventually if he does end up playing this year. That's one that's at least tantalizing to me. I think if I'm an Oregon State fan, I'm in the same mindset of the coaching staff where Malik Murphy transferring seemed like a big deal at the time. I don't want to throw it all on him last year because there certainly were a ton of issues with that team, and he was not the only problem, to say the least. But I also think if he's your starting quarterback, I just kind of know what you're like. He's fine. He's not the most accurate guy in the world.
Yeah, but the unknown doesn't always give you
doesn't
a
mean it's a guarantee,
option, you know?
Without a doubt. And that's why I tend to agree with you.
We
I think
tend to
Murphy,
fall in love with the unknown a little bit too much.
The attractiveness of I haven't seen this before. Right. Maybe it's better than that. There's no guarantee it's better. It could be worse, but it could be better. And that's the draw that I would have, because I just with Murphy, I just kind of know what you're getting. He's not the most athletic guy. He doesn't move very well in the pocket. He struggles with accuracy at times. He can turn the ball over a ton. So there's a lot of boxes he doesn't check for me, and Braden Atkinson might not check him either, and maybe not Brady Jones as well, but to your point, they're unknowns, and so at least I can sell that to myself in my head.
Well, Carson Cobb is a former tight end at Oregon State, and he transferred to Oklahoma State, and he was asked, I didn't pull it, but it's a 13-second clip of like what the transfer's been like, and you know, he's like, the coaching staff's great, the town and the community really supports this team, it's been a seamless transition, I don't have to switch colors of clothes that I own.
Same acronym and colors, OSU, OSU.
Exactly. And people took that second part a little personal, but I do think there's a lot of truth in this. If this team if you know this team's not going to be great, and I think most Beaver fans would be honest and say, yeah, I don't have huge expectations.
It'd be better than last year. I think asking
but
for
what's
to be
the
great ben-
what's the atmosphere? You know, I think the one thing, it's interesting, we get this mix of Oregon State fan that complains we don't talk enough Oregon State.
Right.
And then I see games and it's 30% full or it's 40% the other fan base. And I'm like, well, which is it? Is it such a big thing that we need to talk about it way more? Or is it possible that this program, who lost their status in college football, and it's not their fault, has less support? Because I think that's going to be a real telling thing this year. It's entirely possible this team's not good. They win just four games, three games. That's possible. And there's moments where they look better and a lot of moments where they don't. And we're going to be like, is this going the right way? But what's the support going to be like is a big thing for me. And I don't know. I don't have plans personally to go to a game because I love watching the full slate of college football.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to throw daggers at anybody. I'm just kind of curious.
Right.
For a fan base that's always wanting more coverage, more this, more that, well, are more people going to show up this year? Because even when they suck and they're not good, they're going to need Reser Stadium full.
That's what Shepard's talking about.
That's
I need
what
you
Shepard,
behind us.
Yes, that's the buy-in factor of, like, if you want this,
all
you
of it
want
matters.
Us to hang around for a few years and turn this pro, like, we need fan support.
Yep.
And it's one thing I would say since they lost their status that's absolutely been lacking.
Without a doubt. And I don't also, I'm with you, I don't blame fans.
Yeah, I'm not trying to take shots. I'm just also pointing out the obvious.
In particular, last year, when you have a season go the way that it went, like by the time you get to the back half of the year, you couldn't pay me to go to an Oregon State game. They can't execute a long snap. They got some random guys, an interim head coach. They had to fire Bray after saying they weren't going to fire Bray. Like, dude, I'm not spending any money on this program right now.
Yeah.
You're in a different camp now. Like, you're now in a conference. You have a new head coach.
You have a new AD.
You have a new AD. Like, there's things.
Former players have come back now.
He's inviting Chad Johnson, said he's going to be back on campus. Like, so there are positive momentum signs on the outside looking in. And this is where, like, even bringing up the Texas Tech game, it's funny because I don't blame you for having the thought of, like, will it be full? It's like, dude, that's a college football playoff team who's the villain of the sport to a certain extent right now. It's your home opener game in a new era under a head coach. Again, if you are, by the time you get to, let's fast forward, Texas State comes to town on November 7th, and you're 1-7 or 1-8, and you've been bludgeoned 5 weeks in a row, don't go. Don't pay to go. I don't blame you at all for that. If you don't want to buy season tickets, I don't blame you. Dude, you got a college football playoff team coming to your stadium this year, which is not going to happen on a regular basis for you anymore. Go pack that house. Make it a tough place to play. See if you can make it a ball game into the second half and take a little momentum into the next two games on your schedule, which are Montana and UTEP, which I think are your two most winnable games probably on your slate. And you could be 2-2 going the rest of the way and saying, let's see where this thing possibly goes.
Yeah.
So all of it matters. And this is the hard part of fans because, again, I don't blame people when it gets really bad for not wanting to spend their hard-earned money on it. I cannot look at you and point and say, what's the matter with you? But it matters in terms of the revenue of the football program and the athletic department. It matters on recruiting weekends. When you have kids who come to town on an official visit and there's 2,000 people in the stands, that's an impactful thing. It's not the end-all be-all, but it's an impactful thing if I'm a recruit. And so all of it ties together, and I at least hope out of the gate, if they give you a reason to not go, I don't blame you. But out of the gate, man, you got Texas Tech as your home opener. I hope that place is full.
One more note, Aiden Sullivan, their starting linebacker, was arrested and charged with felony of, assault?
Yeah, it was a bar fight.
A bar fight, basically. One count felony assault in the second degree and two counts of misdemeanor assault in the fourth degree, stemming from the bar fight that happened back in April. Here's Jamarcus Shepard on Aiden Sullivan.
We have wrapped our arms around Aiden Sullivan to give him the best chance to go out there and perform his job the way that he's supposed to. We live in a world where, you know what, if all of us were defined by the worst thing that we had ever done, none of us would probably have many opportunities. I know I wouldn't. If I was judged on the worst thing I've done, you know, I probably wouldn't have this opportunity to be here as a head coach at Oregon State. And so we've told him to just worry about doing your job. And that's what I'm doing my job.
Anybody else think, what is the worst thing you've done then?
It's a good question.
When somebody says that,
it's a good question.
Whether it's sports or not sports, you know, if I was judged on what I did, I'd be like, "What did you do then?"
I ain't showing you what you did. I ain't showing you the bones in my closet, buddy.
Dirt used to send inappropriate pictures to Kevin Love once he got that cell phone number.
You ain't looking in my closet, all right? I ain't showing you my dirty laundry. You ain't gonna look at that. This is also the right answer. Like, until the legal process plays out, you support him. If it's given a reason why you shouldn't support him anymore, then we can criticize. But until then, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Well, so we'll have to see. Not a lot gets out of camp, but right now Oregon State starting anew with a new coaching staff. You've got a quarterback battle.
Yeah.
And we'll have to wait and see on Aiden Sullivan as well. Let's shift gears, go to Eugene, Oregon, where this is interesting from one Dan Lanning. We'll tell you what that is next on The Fan.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap, screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot to get to. Talking a little college football. Just talked to Oregon State. Get to Oregon here in just a minute as camp is going on right now.
So yes,
college football
it
is about a week away, Dirt.
First scrimmages this past weekend. Scrimmage time.
You see the report. Mayava has taken the next step. And I said, what, against USC's defense?
I have no questions about Mayava being good. That's not the question that USC has had. Good quarterback play is not their problem.
Yeah, also, like, I don't know.
I mean, he's fine.
How does anybody tell that somebody's taken the next step, right? Like, I just think some of that stuff is ridiculous, and it's camp talk. But a quick question about the AP poll.
Yes, fire away. We broke it all down.
Your team came in second.
Yes, they did.
So it's
highest ever in school history.
Yeah, that's
preseason.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Do you see who the CBS coach of the year was preseason?
Was it Dan Lanning?
It was, you bet your ass it was. Hang that thing in the rafters. Why are we giving out a preseason coach of the year award? Is there any, the AP poll has serves a purpose of debate and fodder and numbers next to team. Like, we can, should we have it? Not, that's a fun debate.
It doesn't matter, but yeah, it does create
having
debate.
A preseason coach of the year might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Okay, so here is
what?
You're right.
My preseason Heisman goes to, all right, what do you want me to do with that?
Yeah. You're right on that, and you're right on a lot of things involving the AP poll and the way we talk about this. They need numbers next to teams because, God forbid, we have the playoff committee get their old lazy asses out and set their preseason top 25 so at least I know where you're starting from as we go into the season. God forbid. Let's wait till November.
Get your butts to Dallas, watch the games on their stupid big screen TVs and vote, all right?
Could you imagine how little they'd be able to nail if they had to do the first poll release?
Right.
If the AP and the coach, that don't largely matter anymore.
No.
If they had to do the first one, because at least you'd say they'd just steal from the AP and the coach, mix it up a little bit, and call it good. If you had the playoff committee have to do a preseason top 25, how much of a disaster it would be?
It'd be fantastic. I'd love every second.
I would love it too, and I think they should be mandated to do it, but you know, I digress.
Right.
So one takeaway from the AP poll, maybe you talked about this, and I apologize if I'm double dipping today on a Wednesday.
I'll talk more college football any day of the week.
How did not one SEC team get a first place vote? Did you get into that part?
We did get into that.
Georgia didn't get one first place.
Texas
didn't get one first
Ole Miss,
place. Ole Miss,
LSU, I mean, none of them.
Not one?
Not a single one. First time since 2015 that that has been the case in college football.
Miami, Notre Dame, Oregon, Ohio yep. State, you know, Indiana. I get it, but yeah. Like.
Not a single one for any of those SEC teams. It's pretty wild. It is leading more to, and it's hilarious that you bring that up because I saw, you know, I'll follow a lot of SEC content.
I have to defend
content.
The SEC now? What's
Isn't
happening
it funny?
Here?
And they have spun it. I was watching the Next Round Live, some bits of their show yesterday. We had one of their guys on a couple weeks back, and they were doing a segment. And it is hilarious to think about how the narrative has changed. They were legitimately, this is an SEC-based show. They talk all college football, but mainly SEC. And they had a 20-minute segment on how much pressure is on the SEC to win their non-conference games.
Oh, they're 100%
And I just
right?
thought, like, oh, my God. We used to do that in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. When you would get Oregon and Auburn or, Washington, I think, played Auburn one year, or USC and Alabama, whatever the games were, we would talk about, man, this would be a big one for the Pac-12 to win. It helped the old resume come the end of the year.
It gives you a lot of respect.
And after not getting a single first-place vote, that's where they're at. Nobody's yeah. picking them to win the national championship. If they come out and Michigan beats Oklahoma, which Oklahoma, I believe, is a favorite in that game. It is in Ann Arbor. If you get Ohio State to beat Texas back-to-back years, now let me play this scenario out. What if Clemson knocks LSU off in week one?
Entirely possible.
Could very well happen, right? Clemson's kind of
I don't
fun.
Know if I'm picking it, but
I'm not
going to
pick
possible.
It. It's in Death Valley, but I also don't know. LSU's got 80 new players, so let's see how that all gels together in one week. So it was funny to hear that angle from the SEC territory of how much pressure is on them in the preseason.
Well, they're right, and you just pointed out something that's hilarious as a stat. I don't know if it's going to hold up another year, but if it does, it is so funny to say out loud. The Pac-12 was last in the national championship game.
More recently
than the SEC.
Washington.
Now go read the Pac-12 conference. We know it's not the same conference, it's got the same name.
That logo's the same.
Yeah, the logo's the same, and it looks utterly ridiculous. Look, I don't root for the SEC. I do love to talk to our friends in the SEC regions. They're great. They love the sport the way we love the sport. But it is...
Which one would you vote for if you had an AP poll? Because this is the hard part that I have with
Georgia.
It. Georgia would be the one.
Yeah, I mean, like,
but would you vote them number one if you had an AP poll?
No, I wouldn't. But
that's the tough part with it.
But to me, like, voters are pocketed in all sections of the country.
Yeah,
and they can media like to pretend they're completely unbiased and they don't have a rooting interest.
Oh, it's ludicrous.
It's a little ludicrous because the media climate now is it's more fanboy than it's ever been.
Right.
We're just as guilty of this as anybody else.
Oh, without a doubt. We don't deny it.
But also beat writers who've been on beats for 10 years. You get guys who are pretty honest and down the middle, but also they would lie and tell you they don't care if the team they're covering is good.
Yeah.
They want the team to be good. Nobody in the South said Georgia returning Gunnar Stockton for the 9th year in a row.
Yeah.
And you know they're loaded at all the positions. I'm not going to pretend to know all the names of Georgia, but we know they're loaded.
Wide receiver's a bit of a question for them. But
it's
yeah.
just surprising to not see one single vote for SEC school.
It's crazy,
for
dude.
First place in an AP poll that I don't largely care about.
No.
But this was something that wrapped me in of like, wow, right. Georgia didn't get one. When I looked at it on the airplane, Texas, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, like all of these programs have returning quarterbacks, Chambliss, Manning, Stockton. Say what you want about Leavitt transferring to LSU. Say what you want about these guys and whether you trust them or not trust them. All returning quarterbacks, all absolutely loaded. Not a single vote for first place. Interesting takeaway.
My count, I'm just trying to like ballpark it here because the Reddit college football page on Twitter puts out everybody's vote and how they go 1 through 25.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll lead to us making fun of people because a team will win a game and they'll not move in the rankings for that voter. And you're like, they literally just beat that team. Do you watch college football?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ballpark it and say there's about 50 voters in this as I'm just kind of looking at the list. By my unofficial quick count while you were talking, I saw 7 second place votes for Georgia and about 10 for Texas. And that was no other SEC team even got put in the top 2.
Yeah.
And very few even got put into the top 3.
It's very interesting. Other interesting thing I didn't get to there, Dan Lanning.
The Danimal. The Danimal's back.
He talked about how he's grown as a coach over time, and one article that puts him in an interesting tier in college football. We could talk a little Oregon football, hour number 3 ahead, and then in hour number 4, Ken Barkley makes his illustrious return. We got Stouter Story as well around the corner. Dirt and Sprague, hour 3 on 105.1 The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants,
And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.